There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 613. This is your host, Danny. And also joining me this week, we have Paris. Paris, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. I'm glad to be back. This is going to be an interesting week for gaming. I'm excited for it.
And also for America.
Oh, my God.
No, before we start with the show, I really don't comment about this or anything like that, but go out and vote. Super, super important. Go out and vote. It only takes a few minutes, depending on your area. And take your time. Do it, and we'll go from there, man. So just want to say that very quick. You know, it's a very interesting election. That's what I have to say. Super interesting. But Paris, this week also is the launch of two things that's pretty big. PlayStation 4 Pro, and also the Nintendo Classic Mini, which I'm excited. Yes, it came out from the 80s, these games, but I'm excited to actually play this, man, finally, you know? Once again, HD. Know that, man. So, it's going to be cool.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm looking... It's funny. I'm looking forward to it. And we're thinking more along Christmas, because we're going to get a few of them, give our kids one, and give out some as gifts, but I'm excited for it, but I'm worried at the same time that you can't add more games to it. I really think Nintendo kind of dropped the ball on that. They should have had an option that you could load additional games down the road to it, because of those 30 games that come in, maybe about 15 of them I'm excited to play again. Like Mega Man 2 is for sure. I can't wait to play that. Obviously Mario 3, stuff like that. But man, I wanted like pro wrestling on there. There's just some other like old NES games I wish they would have had that aren't a part of that list. So we'll see. I hope it's not just a quick nostalgia thing, and then, you know, it just collects dust because you can't play more games on it. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine for $60, man. You know, and it's like you could play those games on the other consoles, if you have the Wii, Wii U, 3DS, you could download those games and stuff. Not all of it, but the majority of them.
Oh.
But it's like, you don't have to, you don't have to be worried. I mean, it's only $60, you know? So what you were going to say?
Yeah,
something?
And one other issue I have with it, that cord, the controller cord is only 2.5 feet long. So that to me is the bigger issue. You're either going to have to get some long extension HDMI cable, so you can have it closer, like if you're playing in your living room or something, or you're literally going to be right in front of the television trying to play this stuff. So that's one other little limitation that I wish Nintendo would have tweaked. I know I'm sounding kind of negative on it, but I understand.
Yeah. I understand. Like there was this person that I followed on Twitter. I can't remember who exactly. He posted a picture because he bought an extra controller. That one is longer than the one that comes with the console.
See, that makes sense.
Makes no sense. But yeah, Nintendo, come on. Really? How close you want us to be on, like, playing close to the TV? I remember our parents used to complain, stop being too close playing with your Nintendo on the TV, man.
Yep.
Way too close.
Yep.
Come on, Nintendo. You're promoting that again. It's all good. All right, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and all the podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, speaking of Nintendo, Paris, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We were like predicting the price and launch of Nintendo Switch. So before we go with this rumor, Let's go Miss Leo style.
Hey, darling. This is certified psychic Miss Leo. Here are Gamertag Radio's predictions.
You would like to predict your, like, your the date and everything that for Nintendo Switch?
What where I think it's going to launch?
Yeah, I say March 24th on a Friday for $249.
I mean, that seems pretty logical to me. It's going to be some variant on that. I mean, I guess what the rumor is saying, what, the 17th? So, I mean, that seems right.
The 17th, what day is that? I'm looking at the calendar right now. What day is that?
Let's find out.
Let's see. March 17th.
March 17th is a Friday. That's not crazy. I can see, you know, Nintendo's notorious for launching, you know, on odd days. Like, they launch on Sundays a lot, so... Yeah. Okay, again, I like you said, the 24th, that's the Friday too. So I would say it's going to be up in there somewhere. They're not going to launch at the beginning of March. It's going to be more towards the middle / towards the end. So it's probably one of those dates. It's probably right up in there. But like you said, the $250 price, I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's going to fly off shelves at that price.
Basic, right. no games.
Right. Yeah. Just the basic thing, yeah. Which, you know, again, going to those rumors, I mean, they're talking about like a Mario bundle, probably around about $300, and, you know, a Zelda bundle with the Pro Controller for about $340. Again, that seems about right. If they want this thing,
that's not
sell,
bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's a fair price for what it is. So, I mean, I'm okay with it. To be honest with you, I'd probably wind up getting that Zelda bundle. Because obviously I'm going to want to play Zelda, and I already know I want the Pro Controller. So if I can save a few bucks and just get them all together, might as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, Nintendo can say, hey, yeah, we have the console for $250 for super cheap. Just like that, and have the bundles, automatically would be the cheapest console out there, you know, yeah. Compared to the Sony and Xbox. So I think that would be a great move, man. Great, great move.
No,
it will definitely sell.
Oh, it will be. I mean... Nintendo on, what was that, January 12th is what they confirmed, where they're going to give us more information about it. On January 12th, you just show me all the games I'm going to have at launch. Show me everything that this console can do, both as a in the home and on the go. And like you said, if they give it that base reasonable price of $250, you know, I will go to Amazon right after and pre-order it. I mean, I'm going to get it. You know what I mean? So
yeah, same here.
So I'm excited for it. It's good to see Nintendo basically doing Nintendo things, doing something. They're not trying to overstretch themselves and compete with Sony or Microsoft. They're just saying, we're Nintendo. We're going to do something unique. You already know it's not going to be the super powerhouse, but we're going to have all these fun games on it, and we're going to price it reasonably so everyone can enjoy it. That's what I want to see.
So this week also, PlayStation 4 is coming out, and I know you pre-order this. The Pro, you pre-order this a while ago, and you're excited or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I kind of, you know, like you said, I pre-ordered it right away. I kind of not forgot about it, but I kind of just has been in the back of my head. Now I haven't been anticipating it, haven't really been thinking about it, but now here in the last week or so, because obviously it's leaked a little bit. Sony had an event over in Europe. You know, showing off more of it. They flew in some journalists into San Francisco showing it off. And, you know, it's actually leaked. Like people, like I know one person was actually able to buy it from Walmart. We've seen unboxing videos and things like that. And some people have, you know, done some comparisons with a few of the games since some of those patches are out now for the Pro. And yeah, I would say I'm excited for it at this point so much. So I even tweeted the other day. First thing I'm going to do is finish Uncharted 4. I think it's the first thing I'm going to do, you know, when I get it. And then obviously Titanfall 2 is going to have a patch on it. Call of Duty's, you know, Infinite Warfare is going to have a patch on it as well. Ratchet and Clank's going to have a patch on it. I mean, there's a long list of games that are going to be quote unquote pro ready. The Last of Us Remastered has a patch, which ironically enough, I downloaded it just to mess around with HDR on my current PlayStation 4. And yeah, I definitely see a difference. I do. So I'm excited to see what it's going to look like on the Pro as well. So again, this is the start. This is the start of consoles going into 4K gaming. And I think the other exciting thing, which Rise of the Tomb Raider is a great example of this, is even for 1080p owners, you're going to see a lot of games doing some super sampling, which is basically taking that 4K image and down-resing it down to 1080p, and you're going to be able to, you know, have more detail in a 1080p picture while you're playing. And along with, in some cases, I think Tomb Raider, like I said, Rise of Tomb Raider is a great example of this, the 1080p option. You're going to have a higher frame rate. You're going to be able to do 1080p 60 frames per second on the console, which is obviously a nice option for people that don't have a 4K TV. And I'm excited for what this means for the future, you know, as far as with games we're going to see on PlayStation 4 Pro, like Horizon, obviously in February is going to be a big showcase game for this. Eventually God of War, you know, obviously on the Microsoft side, when we get Scorpio, we're going to start seeing all their games. And like I tell people already, if you want to see an example of what Scorpio is going to do, go get Gears of War 4 on Windows 10 and play it at 4K. There you go. That's exactly what it's going to be, you know. So, which on a personal note, has me excited for people that don't have a high end PC, that you're going to be able to have a showcase game like that on the console in 4K. Because trust me, when you add in 4K, mm-hmm. when you add in HDR, you start getting to those higher resolutions, and in some cases, those higher frame rates at those resolutions, you're going to see a difference. You're going to say, yep, this is worth it. I need a 4K TV. I got to go do it. But it was like a friend of mine was asking me the other day about the Pro, because he knows I'm going to get it. And he was like, but I don't have a 4K TV. Should I get it? My personal opinion, if you don't have a 4K TV and it doesn't do HDR, I would wait. I would just wait. Prices might drop. You're not going to be able to take full advantage of everything that the Pro is going to do if you don't have a 4K TV and HDR. You might as well wait for now, but I would say at some point next year, especially with Scorpio coming out, you're going to want to invest in a 4K TV that does HDR. So it's going to be good.
See, like the last episode of GTR, I read an email about a listener that he already has a PlayStation 4, but he wanted to buy an extra one. So him and his wife or girlfriend, I can't remember exactly, wanted to, they could play together, especially the new Call of Duty. He's planning to buy a 4K TV later on. He wanted to buy that, but he was like confused. Should I buy it now? Or should I buy it later? The Pro or what? So I said, reading the email, I said, if you're going to buy a 4K TV later, buy the PlayStation 4 Pro now, and instead of buying the Slim, and then you have to buy the Pro later on. You know, I think it's more money by him.
Yeah,
doing that,
and, you know? And I would agree with that. If you already know, look, I'm getting a 4K TV at some point in 2017, and you want to buy a PlayStation 4 now, I would invest in the Pro. You might as well. Because like you just said, you're basically going to have to sell your Slim, and then you're going to buy the Pro again, you know. And look, the price ain't going to drop until probably next holiday, if it does at all, compared to whatever Scorpio price is going to be. So just invest the, what was it, $399 now, you know, get your 4K mm-hmm. TV, and then you're going to have this back catalog of PlayStation 4 games. They're going to be able to take advantage of the Pro. You know what I mean? So yeah,
definitely.
Why not? But like, you know, you and I talked offline before we started. One game doesn't surprise me that it isn't on the list of enhanced games for launch, but one does, or not surprised, but disappointed that it isn't. Like Destiny is not going to be quote unquote PlayStation 4 Pro compatible. That doesn't surprise me, because the fact that they got to support it across, you know, the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, you know, what other than up-resing it to 4K, they're not going to change a lot in the game since it's a shared universe. But the one that I was hoping we'd see, and look, they've come out and said, look, we're not going to do it, is going to be The Witcher 3, because you guys know how much I love that game. You know, I literally built the PC that I have right now because of that game last year, because I wanted to take advantage of all the various things that you can do on the PC side of it. And then, like, I even got the 1080 GPU, so I can now play Witcher 3 in 4K. I was really hoping that CD Projekt Red would do something with it on a PlayStation 4 Pro, because if you've not played it on the PC, you know, not that it's a different game, but it's just a visual showcase, you know, and I really was hoping we'd see that on console, but they've already said they're not going to patch it. So we're not going to see that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I mentioned this to Paris, that it's good that, you know, Bungie's not upgrading Destiny for the Pro. Instead, work on Destiny 2. And make it happen for that console, and also maybe for the Scorpio next year.
Whenever
it comes out.
Yeah, Destiny 2 will be Pro and Scorpio ready. I mean, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably part of the reason why. But then even that, even in that instance, I mean, they still got to support the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. I mean, they're not going to abandon those for Destiny 2 either.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But for a couple of days now, I've been playing Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare, and Paris. I like the multiplayer. I love the zombies game. And I'm happy that we could play Modern Warfare Remastered. Campaign, wow, it's like there's no soul. I don't care about the characters. Graphically, look amazing. But I'm just like, whatever about the campaign. I'm playing it just to like unlock achievements. And I'm just curious about the campaign. But if anybody's planning to buy Call of Duty, buy it because of the multiplayer or maybe because of the zombies. Or maybe just want to get the remastered of Modern Warfare. But that's about it. The campaign, it's whatever. Whatever, in my opinion. But I just want to say that very quick. I don't know if you had a chance or not to play it, Paris, but speaking about Call of Duty, there's an issue now that, especially for those that have the PC version, there's no cross-play support between the Windows 10 store and the rest of PC. So let's say you buy this game on the Windows 10 and you want to play with your friends that aren't on Steam, it won't happen. It won't work. It doesn't make no sense. Like, who made this decision? This is Microsoft or this is Activision? I'm totally confused about this.
Yeah, it makes, this is, has to be a Microsoft thing, unfortunately, and it is a step backwards for the Windows 10 store, because you're basically saying don't buy any third-party games from the Windows 10 store because you're going to be locked into their walled garden ecosystem of you can only play with other people that bought it from that same store, which makes zero sense on the PC side. So, I mean, Activision, why would Activision want that to happen? I'm sure it's got to be just some limitation in the Windows 10 store, you know, unfortunately. So hopefully they'll get this fixed moving forward, because you just told me only buy first party Microsoft games from the Windows 10 store that you can obviously cross play on Xbox and on Windows 10. But if you want to play any type of third party game, pass. Get it from Steam.
Pass.
Get it from Steam or Green Man Gaming or something like that. Do not buy it from the Windows 10 store.
Now this will make sense. If this is a game that's Xbox Anywhere, then I'll be like, you know what? I understand why it's that way. But if it's just PC, I think it should be open instead of just Windows 10 users.
No, right. Yeah, this is what I was saying before. I mean, why would you limit it to only the 12 people that bought it off of the Windows 10 store versus where people are going to buy it from everywhere else? And that, again, is the whole point of PC gaming, is the openness of it, not to be locked into one particular store. You know what I mean? So, yeah, mistake. Definitely a mistake, you know, for whatever reason. I'm sure there's got to be some technical reason that this happened, but they got to get it fixed ASAP.
Has there been any comment from Microsoft about this at all?
I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay. Well, yeah. Any listeners out there that purchased this game through the Windows 10, let us know if there's a lot of people playing this or not, because I'm very curious about it, man. So, all right. So, Paris, we got some fan mail. You ready for fan mail?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, let's see. Let's read some emails here. Paris, you have a lot of emails, man, but you weren't here. There was one voicemail of a listener from Australia. I believe he's like 12 years old. He said, happy 47th birthday, Paris.
Well, thank you.
Hilarious.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, let's see.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, I got one.
I was reading this earlier, and I was like, I want to comment on this. So, okay.
Okay, go for it.
So this is from Arnold, and he says, hello, GTR. Not sure the proper format for fan mail, but my name's Arnold from SoCal. Well, thank you, Arnold. Been listening to you guys for a few months now and really like the podcast. Keep it up. Among all the Xbox Scorpio news and rumors floating around, I had an idea about how Scorpio could be priced out. In the beginning, I remember the idea for Scorpio was to be similar to a PC where you could upgrade it over a few years. I'm not sure if this has been debunked yet, but I thought the idea of a modular design would be interesting from a pricing standpoint. So the base model, let's say with 500 gigabytes of storage and power to be directly competitive to PS4 Pro, will be at $399. They can then offer the full-on Scorpion experience for $499, 1 or 2 terabytes of storage with the 6 teraflops or whatever. But here's the catch. They can offer a modular upgrade kit that you can just slot in the back of the console for $150 that will bring the specs up to the $499 Scorpion console. So if you get the $399 console as a Christmas birthday gift, you can still get the best of the best if you want and you're not left behind. What do you guys think? So first of all, thank you for the email. Really appreciate it. This will never happen. First of all, they're not going to do a modular console. I get what he's saying, and I get the concept of it. But just go back in history. Look at Sega when they did, what was that, the 32X or whatever. Even the N64, where they had the add-on memory storage that if you bought Donkey Kong 64, and they had some. So basically, you had some games that could take advantage of and others that didn't. But, you know, if you didn't have that memory thing, you couldn't play those games. They're not going to do this. I mean, the whole point of console gaming is to make it simple. You're just going to confuse your market because you're going to basically have this base model of the Scorpion that, you know, kind of sort of plays 4K. Why isn't it playing 4K the way you said? Oh,
what is this?
Oh,
what is
you got to go buy another thing for $150 to make it do that. And people are going to be mad. Yeah. They're not going to do that. And like I said, you don't want to splinter your console market where, you know, again, if little Johnny gets the base model for $399 and his parents are like, I ain't spending no $150 to add on this, you know, and all of a sudden he doesn't have the same experience that someone else has. So now the whole $399 price point, I know, you know, let me dream, all that kind of stuff. If Microsoft can figure out a way to get this thing down to be competitively priced with whatever with the Pro at $400, they're going to do it. But they're not going to take out features that are essential to the core gameplay experience. They can't, you know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll see what it's priced. I still say this thing is probably $500, $450 at the cheapest. But if they found a way to get it down to $400, you know, then they're obviously going to do that. Because again, at that price for what they're claiming it's going to do, as far as being true native 4K gaming, it'll fly off shelves for sure.
I go with $399 or $350.
You are insane. It ain't gonna be $350. I'll tell you that right now. I quit the podcast if it's $350. It's not happening.
You already know my quote. Let me dream.
Guys, let me dream. Yes, let me dream.
I have a dream.
Let me dream. Dream.
Scorpion.
All right, so this is email from Charles. Hi, gamers. I have a question. Why is it okay to be a fanboy about a sports team, but not about a console? If you see a dude in all Cleveland Browns clothes and ask him about Steelers, he will say they are trash. A dude with a Halo shirt on it is going to be like Xbox, but not talk as much as a Browns fan. If you ask me about Sony, the football example is just guys sticking to the other team. How is it different than console fanboys? It's not done to be mean or make someone cry. The gaming media talks about fanboys all the time, but sports media never does, because sports want you to be a fan and buy hats, go to the games, buy keychains, etc. Rivalries are a good thing. Chuck from Pennsylvania.
Thank you for the email, first of all. But no. No, here's the difference. Sports, again, we saw one of the greatest games ever earlier this week with Game 7 of the World Series between the Cubs, you know, and the Indians. There's
amazing.
That is, again, fan is short for fanatic. You're a fanatic for that team. You follow them through the ups and the downs, just everything. The players that come in and all that. But the quote-unquote fanboy nonsense with Xbox versus PlayStation versus Nintendo versus PC, at the end of the day, it's just games. You can be a fan of a game, but why are you limiting yourself? I can only cheer for anything that comes from Xbox. That makes zero sense. So in other words, you're not going to enjoy any of these other games that come from these other companies or these other publishers, right? That To me, that's silly. It really is. So to limit yourself to only have loyalty to one particular publisher is silly. Be a fan of the games, not how you play the game. Again, you know, Luke Smith said this a long time ago, and I've said this since. You know, I don't care what piece of plastic powers my experience. Why should you? You know,
100% agree with that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, so just be a fan of the game. Look, if you're a Call of Duty fan, be the biggest Call of Duty fan you want to be. Fan of Destiny, The Witcher, you know, Ratchet and Clank, whatever. But Gears of War, etc. But, you know, to say, well, I can only like games that come from Microsoft, or I can only like games that come from PlayStation. You're just limiting yourself, personally, is how I look at it. So, you know, just enjoy everything, man. Now, I get you may only be able to afford one particular console, and maybe you have a preference for that console. But here's the thing. All your third-party games are across all the systems, right? So, again, why does it matter? You know? That's all I have to say. This subject irritates me so much. And look, I'm 43 years old, so I'm really grumpy and angry now. But
salty, oh my God, salty.
But it's so juvenile. It's so immature, in my opinion. Like this whole thing that I've been seeing on social media the last couple of weeks of Microsoft fanboys telling people to not buy Titanfall 2 because Respawn has a preference for PlayStation. Do you realize how ridiculous you sound? Like, I won't even say the dude's name, but kind of the king of the Xbox fanboy. I'm not going to say his name, but was on Twitter basically like celebrating that Titanfall 2 didn't have great sales numbers. Why? You're limiting. Respawn is a great developer. They made a fantastic game with Titanfall 2. Who gives a crap what platform you play it on? Just go play it and enjoy it. Support that developer so we get a Titanfall 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, etc. down the line, because they made an amazing experience. Versus, well, they skewed their marketing towards PlayStation, so I'm not going to support them now because I love Xbox. Think about what I just said. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's so dumb.
Yep, and it's hurting all of us.
Exactly.
Hurting all the gamers, because what's going to happen? Let's say the game fails. Then EA will say to Respawn, you know what? No more Titanfall.
And we all lose.
And I'm a fan of the game. So by you celebrating, you're hurting my experience. So F you for doing that, man, because I don't support that at all. And another thing, too, is that, look, I love sports. You know, I'm not a hardcore sports fanatic like, you know, Paris and Pete, you know, but, you know, I'm a Marlins fan. Like, I love Miami Marlins, you know. But when I went to Chicago for a podcast movement, my girlfriend bought me, actually my fiance, she bought me tickets to see the Cubs game live. And I went, and it was an amazing experience. I got to see so many Cubs fans, and it was dope seeing them winning the World Series. It's supposed to be like that, man. By just supporting, man, just enjoy the experience and just have fun with everything, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you going to mess up other people's experience just because you don't like it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't find the whole concept about the whole this thing, man. Like, how this is good, man. I just don't know. Don't know, man. It doesn't make no freaking sense, man, at all, man. So just have fun, man. Just have fun. And yes, Paris, I did say F you. Yeah. It's okay. All right, let's see if there's another email run here. All right, this is another email from Rob. He was like, hey, when you guys were talking about this, about the last episode, talking about the hip-hop and gaming topic, how do you feel to mention Def Jam Vendetta Fight for New York? I will never know. When is the remake coming is all I want to hear. Damn, the game was fun. Another point, do you guys ever feel like you play too much shooters? Recently, I have gone off the genre. Could it be just because I'm getting too old, or is this too much of the same old shish over and over? I still enjoy playing co-op Rainbow with my crew, but I feel shooters have gotten tedious. All right, so thanks, Rob. Is it too much, the whole first-person shooters? Paris, I think we felt like that for a couple years, but I think, you know, playing Titanfall 2, it brought me back. It brought me back. I think, you know, adding new stuff, new experience, like, you know, games like Portal, things like that, I think will help the genre. But if it's just like same thing that I like I talked about earlier, like with Call of Duty, I found it really boring, but the multiplayer side and zombies was actually a lot of fun, but the campaign wasn't that all that, you know? So I think it's just adding new type of gameplay to experience that I think will help the genre. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We've been saying for probably 10 years that, oh, it's too many shooters. But when you get that one unique experience to come out, I mean, it kind of just refreshes everything, you know, and you have something exciting. I mean, look at, again, just taking EA, for example, the fact that, look, I don't agree that both these games should have come out at the same time. But, you know, you look at what Battlefield 1 is doing, going back to World War 1, and that kind of refreshed that franchise. And, excuse me, obviously, Titanfall 2. What they're doing with that campaign they came out with, and obviously the things they're doing on the multiplayer. I mean, you know, you can argue Call of Duty is just the same old, you know, every year, fine, whatever. Obviously, I play a shooter like Destiny. You look at a shooter like Rainbow Six, things like that. You know, even on the PC side, I guess it's console as well, but like Overwatch is obviously doing something unique as well. So, I mean,
I forgot about that.
There's a lot of shooters out there, but I think people find their own little niche in that shooter universe, and they just kind of gravitate towards that. And, you know, there's something for everybody is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of shooters, but has it gotten old? No, not yet. I think we're still seeing some unique things out there.
Okay. All right. So this is another email from Scott. Hey guys, question for you. I have Battlefield 1 and Modern Warfare, but I'm trying to nail down the next thing I want. I'm looking at Watch Dogs 2, Titanfall 2, Skyrim Remastered, and Dishonored 2. I would love to give them all, but right now can only afford to get one. Which one should it be? Wow, this is some great games right here that he just mentioned. Watch Dogs 2, Titanfall 2, Skyrim Remastered, and Dishonored 2. All of them great games.
I can tell you right now, I would not get Skyrim. I mean, the game's been out for, you know what, for 5 years at this point.
unless he hasn't played it, then that's different.
Even still, I would wait.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go play The Witcher 3. It's better. no, if I had to choose out of this list, if it was me, Dishonored 2. That's what I would do.
Dishonored 2.
Because, I mean, you already got Battlefield 1. You already got Modern Warfare. So you kind of already got some shooters. Watch Dogs 2 would be a nice option if you're into Grand Theft Auto and the whole open world thing. But Titanfall 2, again, you already have two other shooters. So you're just adding a third one to the mix. Yeah, I would lean Dishonored 2. I think that's going to be the sneaky game of the year contender, in my personal opinion. So I would go with that.
I will go with Watch Dogs 2 based on, you know, what Paris said about the game and what everybody been saying too, that I already played it. That's a lot better than the first one, because the first one got my attention big time. But once I played, I was like, but I'm hearing great, great feedback about Watch Dogs 2. So my opinion, go with Watch Dogs, you know. All right. So this is from Brian. He's like, hey, guys, I received a copy on Skyrim Remastered on my Xbox One for my birthday. Oh, for a birthday present. Happy late birthday, Paris. Salty old man. I've been really enjoying the game since I've never had a chance to finish it 5 years ago. While I appreciate the graphical boosts or improvements added, I can't help but feel that many of the textures now seem more fixed or flat. They have a nice detail, but it seems to lack depth on character models and surfaces. I also noticed a lot of clipping issues. I almost broke the game frame rate. Killing a large group of mammoths and giants. What do you think about that, Paris? I mean, this game came out, 5 years ago? And do you think you should be mad that there's a lot of issues with this game for $60?
Here's what I think. Welcome to Bethesda. This is a typical Bethesda game. You know, you embrace the glitches and bugs, warts and all, because that's what Bethesda does. I don't know why at this point, but they seem to always get a pass for these things. And I give them a pass too. I literally go into every Fallout and Elder Scrolls game expecting bugs, and you just deal with them. You know, because they obviously, the good outweighs the bad of those. Is it acceptable? Of course not. But like he even mentioned, he is enjoying the game. So you just have to ask yourself, what is acceptable to you? Personally, spending $60 for this remaster is something that I would not do. You know, but again, I haven't done the PC, so I see absolutely no reason to go buy the game. But if I didn't have a PC and I was only playing this on console, I wouldn't spend $60 for it. I'd wait till the price drops. Personally,
maybe $40.
Yeah, $40 seems more reasonable. You know, especially if you've never played the game before. If you played the game already, no freaking way am I spending $60 for this remaster. It just doesn't make sense. You know,
get a new game, man. Like, why waste it on something that you already played?
Yeah, exactly. You know? But like I said, he hadn't finished it, and he is enjoying this now, which is cool. But the fact that you're seeing these glitches and these issues, that's just typical Bethesda. They're literally like the only publisher in the world that can get away with this for some reason. But I think it's because the content of their games is so compelling that people just tend to ignore all the bugs.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, Paris, so we're going to wrap it up. Anything you would like to bring up before we finish with this episode?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, next episode, I'll definitely go more in depth with my experiences with the PlayStation 4 Pro. Like I said, I'll check out Uncharted 4, I'll check out Titanfall 2, Call of Duty, etc. You know, Last of Us, things like that. You know, so I'll talk about my experiences, how the 4K on the Pro compares to some of the 4K games I've played on the PC, stuff like that. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not sure if they're going to do, because I'm getting it from GameStop. I'm not sure if my GameStop is going to have a midnight release of it or not. But by...
When it comes out? When it comes out?
On the 10th. I mean, we'll have an episode out on... Actually, I shouldn't say next episode. So, we'll have an episode out on the 10th, but it'll be our next Monday episode.
Next Monday
episode. Yeah, that'll talk about the Pro. Because then I'll have like all weekend with it too by the time we talk about it. So, it'll be good.
All right, cool. All right, so shout out to Pete. He's last minute. He had some things came up, so he's probably going to be joining us on Thursday, so stay tuned. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag and listen to our past episodes, or you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Remember to share with your friends, spread the word, and all that good stuff.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Until next time, we are out. Peace. Bye.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.